Everybody. Whew. Bruce, you might need to toot that horn a little bit louder. I think they're asleep in here. Well, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Amen. Are you ready to sing this morning? Are you ready to sing this morning? Amen. All right. All right. We're going to start off with At Calvary.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not, my Lord was crucified, knowing it was for me he died on Calvary. Amen. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Will you stand as we sing this morning?
Thank you. If you're saved and you know it this morning, would you say amen? Amen. Singing songs about the glorious salvation of our wonderful Savior. He loves us so very, very much. Well, good morning, church. It's nice to see you this morning here on this springtime, summery, really warm day. But his sun is shining and God is good. He's always good. Would you pray with me this morning as we've stepped into worship, but let's just continue to worship as we bless this day. Father, thank you for your love and mercy. Thanks for reminding us in these hymns just how much we matter to you, how much you love us. You sent Jesus for us. And so, Father, I just pray that today, that as we've gathered together, that we could do what we talk about many times, just lay our burdens down and take this next hour and just focus our heart, focus our mind, our attention upon Jesus to give glory and honor and praise to you. Lord Jesus, have your way in every life. Minister to us. You know our needs today, and we need you. We need more of you. We need your touch. We need your healing. We need your peace. We need your joy. We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit to rise up within us. And so, Lord, we just give our lives to you that you might have your way with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Looking around this morning, I'm not sure that we have anyone who's with us for the very first time, but if you are with us today for the first time, if I'm just not catching that, we have a little gift that we give out at the end of the service, and I'd like to meet you right back in the back right corner back over there after church is over for just 2 seconds, just to say thank you for coming and to present you with a little gift. And announcements, we've got a lot of announcements on the bulletin that you can check out. But we have a special announcement today, and where's Joe? Joe, come on up, and Joe's going to make a special announcement for us this morning. Amen. Can I borrow this? Bill, this, the red one. There you are.
Good morning, everybody. We have a special situation on hand. One of our favorite people, Jana, will be leaving us this week to go into independent living. All right, Jana, I did a little investigating on her, and trust me, I had to get in depth. So what I did, I asked her, I talked to her on the phone, I interviewed her. So I wrote down a few things that Jana has done in her lifestyle. Her lifetime. There's a lot that goes with this. I'm just going to scratch the surface here. She came to the island in 2000, okay, in their motorhome, correct? The next year they bought a lot in 2000, okay? Then they bought a park model and put it on the lot. Built a house in 2005, which she now resides in, which she's going to be leaving pretty soon. But I got to tell you about some of this lady's accomplishments. Not only did she go to Japan and Russia and set them straight, she's an accomplished violinist. As most of you know, she teaches the Robinson Boys. She played in the Vienna Philharmonic Choir in Salzburg. That's an accomplishment in itself. But during that time, somebody stole her violin. I'm going to snitch her out. She broke into the room and got the violin back. And there's a reason for that. Now, we know Jana has, if you could flash those pictures. Yep. She has many awards and certificates for her lifestyle. She was a lawyer because her brother told her she wasn't making enough money as a teacher or a superintendent that she was, a high school principal, a junior high school principal, an assistant principal, and listen to this. Jana got 3 belts in karate because she heard that one of the principals got locked in a locker and she said, "You ain't locking me in there." So she took that. Other than all of that, bridge, euchre, various games, too many to mention, are her lifestyle and her passion. And we just want to say, Jana, we love you. We're going to miss you. I don't know how to put into words how you control things, but you do. And she's going to be sadly missed. And we're going to have cake for her and coffee in the cafe after the service today. We're going to honor Jana. So we wish you would all come down there, okay? is it. Now, Jana, it's your turn.
Amen. Let's just give the Lord praise for this lady. Jana, we love you. We're going to miss seeing your beautiful face right here every Sunday morning. But you're not that far away, so we're still going to bother you. We're going to come find you. She's going to be moving over to Stewart. And if you drive and you want to call her up and make an appointment to stop in and see her, I'm sure she'd be happy about that. And we're going to keep close tabs on this girl. Life's all about change, isn't it? And change is okay as long as it's somebody else that has to change and it's not me, right? That's how it works. But we can't always control the changes in our lives. And so we're gonna pray for Jana as a congregation. I'm gonna ask the board if you would just surround her, maybe lay a hand on her shoulder this morning. If you're inclined this morning, would you stand and maybe just stretch a hand toward Jana? It's hard to stand, I understand that. You just stretch your hand and stay seated. That's okay, but we're going to just pray blessing upon her life this morning. Our Father, we thank you. We thank you for the family of God. There's nothing like it. Some of us have families that are so endearing, biological families, brothers, sisters, children, grands, greats. We know how good that feels, but there's something also about the family of God. You bring us together. We're united in our faith. We're united in our love for Christ and for one another. And Father, I pray this morning for Jana. Lord, I thank you for her life and her gifts and her service and her ministries and all the prayers that she's poured out over the years for this church. Lord, she's one of the founding bedrock supporters, God. She's in the foundation of the works of Nettles Island Church. She's been here that long. And she's been faithful and she's been committed and dedicated to you and to the cause of advancing the gospel through this church. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just begin today to pour out your blessing after blessing after blessing upon her. God, that you would enrich her as she makes this transition, Lord, over to Stewart, that, Lord, that it would be a smooth, easy, settled transition. It would be peaceful, God, that there would be no stress, and that, God, it would just be like hand in glove. It would just flow so smoothly. And God, I pray that you'll use her for your glory over there, that she'll make friends and that she'll run into people and begin to build relationships with people that need Jesus, and that they'll see the love of Jesus in her heart and that souls will come to know you. God, we can look at this in so many ways. We can be really sad, and there's a part of sadness that goes with not seeing somebody all the time. But God, we can rejoice with the fact that it's a new season and a new horizon. And God, you're doing something new in Jana to use her for your glory, Lord, there in Stewart. So Lord, we just pray that you would pour your Spirit out upon her today. Holy Spirit, just continue to keep her full of you. Just use her for your glory. Do great and mighty things. Touch her health. Touch her strength. God, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, let your presence and your power, your goodness and your anointing just be upon her. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you would remain standing for just a second. Jana's favorite song, I was told this morning, is Just a Closer Walk with Thee. And we're going to sing that in honor to her, but really in honor to the Lord. And let's make that our prayer this morning. Lord, I just want to know you more. Let's sing it together today. Steve, lead us. Thank you.
let you know I appreciate you. You're going to be very missed. I'm sure we'll see you here and there, but you're going to be missed. Sing as the deer.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul long after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I love to thank you.
wonderfully welcome in this place. Oh, we just so covet the desire to be able to snuggle up against you. We know that you're in us, but you're with us. And as we've been lifting up the name of Jesus today, that's what you come to do. You point everything back to the Savior, to the God who came in the flesh and gave his life for us. That's your desire and that's your purpose. And we, as we worship our Savior, as we lift up Jesus today, Lord, I pray that you would just minister to each person that's here. Holy Spirit, you know our needs, you know our circumstances, you know the absence of peace that some may be feeling as they came in today. Change that circumstance. God, where there's doubt, let there be faith. Where there's fear, let there be courage, Holy Spirit. Just turn the circumstances. It starts in our heart, it starts in our thoughts, it starts in our minds. And then faith rises up, and with faith all things are possible. So Lord, you know the needs today. Lord, there'll be some that'll be leaving this week. We just pray traveling blessing and mercy. They'll be gone from us for the summer. God, watch over them. Oh, put a hedge of protection around them and keep them healthy and strong and protect them, Lord. Meet every need that they have. Bring them back to us in the fall. Father, I pray today for every burden that came in this place on the back of your people. Lord, we laid them down and they're down. They're under our feet. But we don't want to take them when we go. We want you to let us know even now that you're working out every situation if we but would trust in you. And so we put our faith in you today. We stand on the promises today. And we're thankful, Holy Spirit, that you're here, that you're with us, and that your peace abides in this room and in our hearts. We give you all the praise in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. 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 Well, I'll tell you, I never used to cry. I mean, when I was a kid, I cried, but not when I was doing law enforcement. I never showed that. But when I get in the presence of the Lord, there's just something about how he melts a heart. Ah, I love it. I love it. Thank you for your worship today. Worship team, well, they already left me. Worship team, you did an amazing job. You always do, but today, just to bring us into the presence of the Lord. Ah, it's so good. And that's where victory happens. That's where the healing happens. That's where the glory, when the glory of the Lord comes down, ministry starts to take place. So reach out and get a hold of Jesus today. I'm starting a series this morning out of Romans chapter 8. And the series title is God is for you. God is for you. You know the Bible verse, if God is for me, for us, who can be against us, right? And God is for us. And this morning, the title of this particular first message in the series is Living the Spirit-Controlled Life. I know that every one of us as believers that are Christians this morning and we love Jesus and we want to live for him, we want to serve him. Sometimes it's not so easy, huh? Sometimes the trials, they just wear us down. Sometimes the temptations will come and they'll just work against us and wear us down. And so I want to talk about that in this series, that God is for you. And when we're done with this series, Romans chapter 8, you're going to walk out of this place and you're going to know that you know that you know that you belong to Jesus. He's got you and God's for you. So Romans 8, verses 1 through 11, let's look at it together. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. It's going to be on the screen as well. I'm going to read this section of Scripture, and then we're going to break it down this morning. Paul the Apostle writes this. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, talking about us now, this is where it comes down to you and me. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives within you. We're going to be talking a lot about the Holy Spirit in this series, in us. I know that as Christians, we learned a long time ago, we have a Father in heaven. He's our Heavenly Father, God the Father. And then there's, as people who believe in the Trinity, that three in one, then we have Jesus, the Son of God, who always was the Word, and he came in the flesh, and they named him Jesus, and he lived, and he died on the cross, and he rose again for us, what Paul was just saying here. But there's also the wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, when you need a helper, we preached on this a couple of years ago now, the Parakletos. He's the helper. He's the one that comes alongside. And if you want to be all that you can be for God, if you want your days to count, if you want your life to matter, the days, the weeks, the years that we have left in our life on this side, then we need to really snuggle up close to the Holy Spirit. We need to understand who he is and what he does and how he works. And that's a real big part of what's going to be happening in this series. But let me just say that passage that I just read to you, Romans chapter 8, that whole chapter really is one of the most life-changing sections of Scripture that you and I will ever encounter. I'm not saying one part of Scripture is more important than the other, but there are parts of Scripture that God's speaking to us, and when we walk in that and we embrace that, it transforms us and it changes our lives. Commentators describe this chapter as the mountain peak of Bible passages in Scripture. Now, from this passage, and these are not my 3 points, but they're 3 quick little sub-points in the beginning, but from this passage, we're going to see the assurance of our salvation. You're going to know that you know that you know that you are saved. You see, the devil comes along sometimes when we mess up, or when we get discouraged, or when life gets really hard, and he says, God doesn't care, you're probably not even saved. You've heard that, and I've heard that. I lived that as a teenager. My theology was all messed up when I was a kid. I thought every time I sinned, or thought a bad thought, or a lustful thought, that I was going straight to hell. And I didn't understand the assurance that the Bible gives us of the salvation that we have. You see, this chapter begins with, there is therefore now no condemnation. You're not condemned. I'm not condemned by God. And it ends with, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. We're not condemned and we're not separated, beginning to the end. And so right here where we live in the middle in life, we're going to find that our salvation is something that God has gifted us with. And it's very important if we want to walk in victory in this life, we have to understand that. The second thing we're going to see is that the Holy Spirit's prominence and how it works for living out the Christian life, the prominence, the power, how He works in us to help us to be obedient to what God wants us to do, and we want to do those things. The third member of the Trinity is mentioned 19 times in this chapter. The Holy Spirit is talked about 19 times, almost once every two verses. And up to this point in Romans, verses chapters 1 through 7, the Holy Spirit by name only appears four times, but in this chapter, 19 times. And so I think there's a prominence in understanding that. And having said that, Romans 8 is not so much focused on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to talk about all that, who He is and all of that, but it's focused on what the Holy Spirit does for us as believers. You see, He's not a possession to hold on to. He's a person to love and to obey. And God never intended for us to live the Christian life on our own. He didn't die on the cross and we didn't hear the message and come to the altar and get saved or kneel or raise a hand or however we gave our lives to Christ and then say, well, I guess when I see Jesus, I'm saved. I'll just go and do my thing. No. God never intended us to live our Christian life all by ourselves on our own with our own strength and power, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our practice, and then the third thing is our practice, our lifestyle, how we live our life in Christ as a Christian must come out of our position. Our practice will function based on our position, our assurance, the fact that we know that we know that we know because we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved. You see, it's all about what we receive, not what we achieve by our own efforts. The Christian life is not focused on what we need to do, but on what is already done for us. We must always come back to our position in Christ before we can effectively put our Christian life into practice. We're going to understand that. So here's the main idea. If you fall asleep on me, wait for this idea and then fall asleep. Here's the main idea. And I never get upset if you fall asleep. I think, man, I must be bringing the peace of God and somebody really needed that peace and they fell asleep. So, but here it is. Here's what we're talking about in concise, in just a couple little bullet points. I want to convey to you that your position in Christ deals with the penalty of sin. Your position has already dealt with the penalty of sin. You've been justified. That word justified just simply means just as if you never sinned. When God the Father looks at a Christian, He looks at a holy Christian, even though I know I'm not holy when I look in the mirror sometimes, I'm really struggling, but He sees me justified just as I've never sinned. But our position deals with the penalty of sin. But our practice, living it out, living the Christian lifestyle, deals with the power of sin. And that's where sanctification comes in. See, there's justified, God made me holy because of what Jesus did. But truthfully, I know me, and I know that I'm struggling sometimes in some ways. And that's where sanctified, meaning He takes me and I get cleaned up and I'm set apart so that I can do for God what He wants me to do and not what I want to do. And we'll see some of that. So right there, if you get nothing else out of that, if you're a note taker and you can get that or take a snapshot of it or see me after for it, that is powerful to understand this morning. So let's take a deeper look at this. Your position in Christ deals with the penalty of sin. Let's take that first one for just a moment or two. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, we already read it, but I want to come back to it. There is therefore now, right now, today, May 18th, 2025, there is today no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You're not in Him unless you're born again. You're not in Him unless you're saved. You can be a good person. You can try to do good works. You can have a system of religion like some churches teach that say, if you do this and here's the list, don't do these things and do these things. And you think, well, I'm doing really good. That's working it out in your own self. That's doing the work. And so that's not how it works. For the born again Christian, there's no condemnation to those who have surrendered and said, I can't do this, God. I need to cling to Jesus. He's my salvation and He's my hope, and He's the one who makes it that there's no condemnation. For the born-again believer, there's the assurance that there will never, listen to me, never be a future judgment that awaits us regarding the sins that we've committed while we've been here on the earth. The Bible talks about two judgments. There's the Bema judgment, that's the Christian's judgment, our works, what we've done. When we get up in the morning and say, God, use me today. How can I serve you today? And when we follow the will of God today and do what he says, go here, say hi to that person, take a cake over to this person, do this for that one, or I want you to just stop everything and just pray. Those are our works. They don't save us. We do those because we are saved. That's what's going to be judged, our hay, wood, and stubble. Every word that I said that wasn't good and kind and nice, that's hay, wood, and stubble, going to burn. But the gold, the silver, the precious stones, that's what God makes the rewards out of. And through eternity, we carry our crowns and our rewards with the things we've done. That's our judgment. It's not a judgment on sin. It's not a judgment on can we stay in heaven or are we getting kicked out of here. We're in. Because of Jesus. The other judgment is the great white throne judgment. That's the judgment at the end of time after the rapture has taken place, after the tribulation has come and gone, and when all of mankind that's ever lived will come before God and they will be judged as to whether they received Jesus Christ as their Savior or they refused Him. And everyone that refuses Him will be judged and sent to hell. Not a pretty picture. I didn't make it up. Almighty God did. He's made a way. He's thrown us the life ring. He's given us the rope to pull us in. And yet day after day after day after day, people will reject Jesus, reject the message, reject the truth, and think they can do it on their own. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And so we're not going to be judged, church. You say, but I'm not perfect. I just messed up yesterday. Okay. Confess it. Tell the Lord you're sorry for it so your fellowship and your relationship isn't broken with Him. And then move close back into Him. The Bible says in 1 John 3:2, it says, dear friends, now. There's another now. Remember, it says, now there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation in that. I got a little competition here, huh? That's okay. And so, dear friends, now there we are children of God, and what we will be, listen to that. Do you see that there? I want to just break that down for a second. What we will be, that means I'm not done yet. I'm not there yet. I'm not perfect yet. What I will be, I'm a child of God now because of Jesus, and I will be, what I will be has not yet been made known. You know that little course, God's still working on me. He's making me what I need to be, right? It's really that. But we know that when Christ appears, John says, when Christ returns for us in that moment, what happens? Glorified body. We will be like Him. We'll never struggle with temptation again. We'll never sin again. We'll never displease the heart of God again in that moment. But right now, we are the children of God. Now that word for condemn comes from two Greek words. One means down. Condemn means in the Greek down, and the other means to judge. And it literally means to judge down. Negative judgment. And it was used by the Roman emperors as they sat upon their thrones and they would bring the prisoners in and the captain of the guard and the guards would bring them in and they'd say, this one did this, this, and this. And the emperor had the right to give them a thumbs up, like let him go free. We'll forgive him and let him go. Or thumbs down. You know, thumbs down meant this guy wasn't walking out of there alive. You've seen some of the TV movies that I've seen, The Gladiator maybe, or some of these other ones way back in the day where they had the Caesar and the Emperor was there and they had the big Colosseum and the guys are fighting and the one guy wins, he's got the other guy on the ground and he looks up to the Emperor for a thumb up or a thumb down. That's exactly what that says. There is now no more condemnation. God is never going to thumb you down. He's not going to do it. Because you have been made righteous through Jesus Christ. God's gavel, when He hits the gavel on the bench, is a gavel of grace, undeserved favor for us as Christians. And those in Christ will not be condemned because Jesus took our condemnation, our sin,
our suffering upon his body on the cross. And there is no impending punishment for Christians because Christ bore the penalty. You say, man, you're spending a lot of time on this. I need to build this foundation because we're going to move on from this. But our position determines really our practice or our lifestyle. We have to know that God's for us. God is for us. Here's an important truth to remember when God says no condemnation. He's not basing it on our performance. How well we did, how long I prayed today, how many chapters in the Bible I read. We should pray. We should read. That's how we get to know him. But if I have a day or a week where I've just struggled to do that, the problems of life have just overwhelmed me and I've struggled, I haven't really used my faith. He's not judging us or he's not looking and basing anything on our performance as followers of Christ. But he's basing it on our position, who we are in Christ. Ephesians 2, 8-9, it's for by grace that we've been saved. By grace, undeserved favor through faith. It's not of yourselves. Listen, throw that mindset out. If you were raised in a church that said, here's your list, do these things and you'll go to heaven. Be this person, you'll go to heaven. You can throw that out because that's anti-Bible. This is Bible. This is what God says. It's by his grace that we've saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not by works, so that nobody can boast. God declares it to be so because of the finished work of Christ on our behalf. He doesn't revoke it. He doesn't revoke our salvation when we mess up, nor does he suddenly seethe with anger towards us. But look at this. God doesn't love you to the degree that you are like Christ. He loves you to the degree that you are in Christ, and that's always 100%. Now, the promise of no condemnation is available to everybody, but it's applied only to those who are, as the Bible has said, in Christ. We need to make sure that we're in Christ. We need to make sure that there was a time in our lives where we gave our heart and our life to Christ. Perfection? No. We're not perfect. But we're children of God because we belong to Jesus. You see, to be a Christian is to be in Christ. You can be in church and be lost. You can be in a good family and you can be lost. You can be a good neighbor and you can be lost. But if you're in Jesus Christ, you will never be condemned by God. You'll never stand at that great white throne judgment that I mentioned a moment ago. Now, some of us could be thinking this morning right now, well, this is too good to be true. This isn't how I was taught in my life. You know, in a sin-soaked world filled with sickness and disappointment and pain and agony, how is this even possible? It seems too easy. Well, here's how. If we have repented and received Christ and acknowledged him as Lord over our life, God has given you and I a thumbs up because of what Jesus has already done for us. And there's literally nothing, nothing that you can do right now that would make God love you any more than he already does. And there's nothing that you could do that would make him love you any less. You're his child, and he loves you unconditionally. So our position in Christ deals with the penalty of sin. Now, we've taken some time on that, and I don't know what happened to my clock here, but it's got a picture of a Ford truck on it instead of a clock. Got another advertisement. Well, let me move as fast as I can, and since it's a series, if I don't get through it, we'll just pick it back up. 10 minutes to go. I know that cake's calling your name. Well, let's get into this one. There are 3 points that really, now that we've set the foundation, there are 3 points about practicing or living out our life in a way that honors God with the Spirit's enablement, and that deals with the power of sin in us. Because we're Christians, but we're not perfect, and sometimes we still sin. Sometimes it just happens that way. We want to live for God, but we don't always. Sometimes my attitude just goes right down the tank, and it's just not good. And then my attitude causes me to say or do things that are displeasing to him. But our practice, how we live for the Lord, how we honor the Lord on a day-to-day basis, is based on the Holy Spirit's enablement, and that's what deals with the power of sin. I want to give you 3 ways, probably just this first one, and then we'll close this morning, to take our position how we live for Jesus and put it into practice. Our position, who we are in Christ and how we put it into practice. So number one, I want you to begin from this point to focus on what the Lord has done. What he's done. Romans chapter 8 verses 2 through 4 tells us what's been done for us. First of all, I want you to focus on your freedom. You're free this morning. As a Christian, you're free. Look at verse 2. Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit is simply this. He comes in and we have eternal life. We get to live forever. All right? The law of sin is death. The Ten Commandments, breaking the Ten Commandments, if they didn't cover that with the blood of a perfect little lamb back in the Old Testament, they would die. Do you remember when Moses was dealing with the Israelites and he was dealing with Pharaoh and he was saying, let God's people go, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no. There was plague after plague after plague, and Pharaoh would get fed up and say, okay, go. And then he'd round them back up just as they got to the edge of the city, and he'd bring them back in and say, I changed my mind again. And so the final analysis or the final work that God did was he said to the Jewish people, his people, the Hebrews, he said, I want you to take a spotless lamb, and I want you to sacrifice that lamb, and I want you to have a Passover, and I want you to take the blood of that lamb, and I want you to put it on the top post and on the two side posts. You know what that makes? The sign of the cross of Jesus Christ. What was happening there 4,000 years before Jesus came was symbolic. It was telling them, they didn't see it, but we see it because we're on this side and can look back and go, oh wow, look at how it all comes together. And what he was doing was he was showing them a type of the fact that one day the Lamb of God, Jesus, would come and his blood would be shed, and that's what would keep us and give us eternal life. And so he says to the Israelites, put the blood on the doorpost. And that night the death angel came all through Egypt. And it went down the streets and every house that didn't have the blood applied to the mantle and to the posts of that door. The death angel went in. The angel of God went in and took the life of the firstborn. Now, isn't it ironic that God's firstborn, the only begotten Son, gave his life? No one took it, so that we all could be saved. It's a reversal of that. But I want you to see that today, that first of all, we focus on our freedom through Christ, through Jesus. We have been set free. Now we're to choose to follow and to live for Christ. Can I tell you something? People that don't know Jesus, that aren't born again, do you know why they mess up? Do you know why they sin? Do you know why they can get ugly with us and other people and their family? Because they can't help it. They can't help it. It's in their DNA. It's who they are. They were born into sin. They can't help it. They're going to curse. They're going to cheat. They're going to lie. They're going to steal. They're going to do all kinds of things. But that's not us. Because the moment that Jesus Christ cleansed us and washed us with his blood, supernaturally, spiritually, our DNA changed and we became a child of God. Now, that doesn't mean that I still don't curse or spit or lie or cheat or steal sometimes as a Christian, but I choose to do it now. See, greater is he that's in me. So we have a power that the world doesn't have. We can choose to live a good life, a righteous life. Sometimes we get caught up. I get that. This isn't about beating us up over that. We've already covered that. Positionally, we're in Christ. And it's not about what we do or don't do. It's what he did. But we're to choose. Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set us free to choose to obey God. Where our neighbors that don't know Jesus, they can't choose that until they find Jesus as Savior. And then we can focus on God's forgiveness. God knew the law was unable to save us. He knew that man wasn't going to be able to keep the law. And so out of his love, he sent Jesus Christ as a sin offering. Look at verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by our human nature, our flesh, our humanity, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now, it doesn't say he became sin in the likeness. He didn't go out and commit all our sins for us, and because he couldn't have been Savior. In the likeness of sinful flesh, he took on flesh to become our sin offering, and so he condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned the sin that's in us. He bore our condemnation, our penalty, and we're forgiven, past, present, and future. So we focus on our freedom, we focus on God's forgiveness, and then we focus on the fact that righteousness has already been fulfilled. All of God's righteous requirements have been fully fulfilled in us when God looks at us because of Jesus and his substitutionary work on the cross. Verse 4 tells us that God condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met. Let me pause there and say, times haven't changed. God wasn't one way. People say, well, God was one way in the Old Testament, and he's a different God in the New Testament. He was wrath in the Old Testament. He's grace. No, he's still grace in the Old, and he gave grace to Abraham. He gave grace to David. When David should have been taken out, Samuel should have said, you're the one. You killed a man, and you stole his wife, and you've impregnated her, and we're getting the soldiers, and we're dragging you outside the city gates, and we're going to stone you. We don't care if you're the king. But what did David do? Psalm 51. Oh God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit. That's the response God wants from us when we mess up. He's not casting us away, but he wants us to come with a heart that's, God, I'm sorry that I did that. I know that I can make a choice, and I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll help me to make a better choice the next time. But thank you, Lord, that I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, that this doesn't change my eternal destiny. This doesn't change anything. I belong to you. So we have our freedom. We have God's forgiveness. He forgives every time we ask, as many times. Well, how many times, Lord, should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Do you remember that? Do you remember that? And they thought he'd say, maybe two or three. Turn the other cheek. 7 times 70. How many is that? 490? Is that right? You mathematicians? I don't think it's possible for somebody to sin 490 times against me in one day. Do you? With the same sin. If God requires that of you and I, in other words, practice forgiveness, is he going to live different? No. Focus on his forgiveness. And then be ready, the fact that righteousness has already been fulfilled. So we're reading this verse and we're right in the middle. In order that righteous requirement of the law might be fully met, fulfilled in us who do not live or who do not practice according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You know what God's saying there? When you wake up in the morning, the Holy Spirit's in you. Just ask him to lead you. Help me to live for God today. Help me to live to honor Jesus today. Are you ever going to get in your flesh? Yeah, so am I. But that's what grace is all about. Forgiveness is all about. So as we look at this, as we see this morning, our first point is to focus on what the Lord has done, freedom, forgiveness, and righteousness has already been fulfilled. I can physically in my body become a better person, but I can't become any more righteous in the eyes of God. Do you understand that? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. Let's pray. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. I just want to take a moment. I just want to pause in this service. And I just want to say this. If you're here today And we've been talking, Paul the Apostle wrote what the Holy Spirit told him to write. The Bible is the verbally inspired Word of God. God said it through His apostles. He said, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I don't want this service to end without me just giving us an opportunity. And our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. This is a personal thing between each one of us and a God who loves humanity so much. But if you're here this morning and you don't think that you've ever given your heart and your life to Christ. If you're not in Christ, you feel like, hey, I'm really not in Christ. You know what the Bible says? If we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we shall be saved. So it's just a prayer. It's a confession. We call it a prayer. It's really a confession saying, Lord, come into my heart. I've never asked you to be the Savior and the Lord of my life, but I'm asking you right now in this service, forgive me of all my sins. All my past sins, all the sins that are in my present situation and the sins that I'll commit, even though I'm going to live for you and I'm not going to want to. When I stumble and fall, God, would you forgive me? I receive the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for my sins. You cannot get to heaven any other way. You'll never be able to work your way in. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be so disappointed and the biggest panic that they've ever had. Their lives are going to melt and be destroyed emotionally because they think they've done all this and this and this. So did the Pharisees in the Bible. And Jesus, the only people Jesus railed out against were the Pharisees, the religious leaders who did all these works, but they had a closed heart toward Jesus and toward God the Father. So if you're here today and your heart's always been closed, would you open it up today? Would you confess Jesus? Just confess Him. Say, I confess you as my Savior. Do that right now. I'm not going to ask for hands raised. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to pray a prayer with me like I do sometimes. But I'm just asking you right now where you're seated. I don't want anybody to walk out of this place today and not be in Christ and not know that they are perfect positionally when God the Father looks at them. But you can't have that without having Jesus. So just in your own words, just tell Him you need Him. You accept Him as your Savior. You make Him the Lord of your life today. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word today. Thank You for teaching us some foundational truths. Some folks here have known all of this, but it's a good reminder. We are accepted in the Beloved. We don't have to earn our way to You once we come to Jesus. That blows our minds because we're performance-based people. The world is performance-based. If you loaf, you get nothing. If you work hard, you can achieve. And God, that's how the world is. And so we live in this world and we struggle with it sometimes. But today, would You reaffirm in every heart and every life our position? We're saved and we're on our way home and heaven awaits us. And so, Father, we just commit this day, commit every heart and every life to You right now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Stand with me for closing song this morning. I'm going to sing a new one today. Try to sing it out, even if you don't know it. The person next to you is not going to elbow you if you're not on the right key, but the blessing. It's a beautiful little song, and it's God's blessing we're asking upon us as we leave the service today. Amen. God bless all of you.
Upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace.
are dismissed this morning. Go and be blessed.